Amen. They'll be famous before the end of the night, won't they? Because they'll be all over Facebook. And amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. 1 Peter chapter number 3 tonight. Last week, for a couple Sundays before, we spoke about training biblical knights. And we gave five characteristics that we need to be teaching our young men. We looked at the will of a biblical knight, and we said that a young man needed to be trained to submit to the preeminent. We looked at the work of a biblical knight. We said that a young man needed to be trained to sweat for his provision. We looked at the words of a biblical knight. We said that a young man needs to be trained to speak with purity. And then we looked at the walk of a young man, and we said that a young man needs to be trained to step on the path and to stay on that path, and not to venture off of that path. And then finally, we looked at the warfare from Ephesians chapter 6 of a biblical knight. And we said that a young man needs to be trained to stand in God's power. To stand in God's power. And then last Sunday night, we began to look at this subject matter of our young ladies. And specifically, we began in Esther chapter number 4. And by the way, let me read that verse for us. Esther chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Probably the most famous verse in the book of Esther, but it says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And we know that God has a purpose and a plan for every single one of us and for every single one of our children. He has a plan for our young men. He has a plan for our young ladies. And we need to guide them in the direction of that plan. And so last week we began to look at that title, "For Such a Time as This, Rearing Virtuous Women in a Treacherous World." And last Sunday night we looked at our first characteristic of the virtuous woman. We looked at the submission of a virtuous woman. The submission. And by the way, we didn't even talk about Ephesians chapter 5. That wasn't even what we talked about. We talked about her submission to God. Her submission to God. Her submission to the aged women that are teaching her. Her submission to her guides. And then her submission to her gender. And so we looked at the submission of a virtuous woman. And tonight, we want to look at the second characteristic, and we find that in 1 Peter chapter 3 of a virtuous woman, and that is the spirit of a virtuous woman. The submission of a virtuous woman, and tonight I'd like for us to see the spirit of a virtuous woman. Before we read here in 1 Peter chapter number 3, I want to go back and remind us, we mentioned this last week, this is important, and I want to bring this back to our minds. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" This verse was on your bulletin this morning, on the front of the bulletin. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." What did we say last Sunday night? That the virtuous woman is priceless. And what does that mean? It means that she is, I believe Brother Steve said, she's rare. You don't find a whole lot of virtuous women in our day. By the way, you didn't find a whole lot of virtuous women when in Proverbs 31 when this was written. That's the point of the question. He says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" We're looking for a virtuous woman. And even then, it was rare to find a virtuous woman. But the Bible says, "For her price is far above rubies." Remember what we said last week? We gave just a little economic lesson last week. We said that when supply is high and demand is low, what happens to the price? It goes down. But when supply is low and demand is high, what happens to the price? Price goes up. When the supply is low, and that's why in Proverbs 31 verse 10, it says that she is priceless, that she is far, her price is far above rubies. Why? Because the supply of virtuous women is low, but the demand is high. Now, if you ask a young man, and if he was honest with you, every young man wants to marry a beautiful lady, doesn't he? Okay, you can answer. Yes! Nothing wrong with that. But if every young man would be honest with that question, most young men want to marry a young lady who's going to be there with him for the long haul. Not necessarily worried about the beauty, although that's part of it. Everybody wants to marry, every young man wants to marry a beautiful lady. But more than that, he wants to marry a lady who is beautiful on the inside. That's what's most important. We saw that this morning here in Proverbs 31, in verses 29, 30, and 31. What's most important in verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Beauty's going to vanish one day. Because that's just nature. We're going to get older, and that beauty when we were a teenager or maybe in our 20s and 30s, that beauty, that skin that was absolutely void of wrinkles isn't going to be there anymore. That's what he's speaking about there. He says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It's all about the inside. So when we're speaking about rearing virtuous women in a treacherous world, we want to rear young ladies who are priceless. Priceless. The supply is low, the demand is high. Our desire is to add a little bit to the supply. Our desire is to rear Proverbs 31 ladies. And so we began last week with the submission of a virtuous woman. And tonight, let's look at the spirit of a virtuous woman. You're in 1 Peter 3. Let's begin in verse number 3. We looked at verses 1 and 2 last week regarding the submission. In chapter number 2, the Bible says that God has given us an example. That example is Jesus Christ, an example of submission. And so in verses 1 and 2, it says that the wife is to be subject to her own husband, even a husband that may not be saved or may not be right with God. Verse number 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, they may be won, the Bible says in verse number 1, by their chaste conversation coupled with fear. And then he begins speaking about the Spirit. He said, whose, speaking of the wife, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. And by the way, he's not diminishing that, is he? And I'm not trying to be silly here, but I'm trying to make a point. God wants you to put on apparel, right? Okay, so he's not diminishing that. He's just simply making the comparison. He's making the point in verse number 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet, what's the word there? Spirit. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. Now, don't miss that. In the sight of God. And isn't that what's most important? Isn't how God sees us, isn't that what's most important? Not how the world sees us. Not, you know, sometimes the world, they'll look at ladies who try to abide by 1 Peter 3 and try to have a meek and quiet spirit, and they'll look at them and you know, they'll say, well, you're just a mouse and you just let your husband run over you and you don't ever say anything back. But the truth is that's not the truth at all. A lady can have a strong opinion and still have a quiet spirit. A lady can help her husband and give advice to her husband. By the way, she should. She should be a help. And she can give advice to her husband, still have a meek and quiet spirit. In this world, look, it doesn't matter what this world thinks. It matters what God Almighty thinks. And that's what he says in verse number 4, which is in the sight of God of great price. Verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And so tonight, let's look at the spirit of a virtuous woman. And I want to give you three truths or characteristics regarding the spirit of a virtuous woman tonight, and we'll develop those and hopefully be a help. We're trying to help us as we're rearing these young ladies to rear virtuous women. And look, I told myself this week that I always make this caveat, and it's really something that I probably shouldn't say because I think it goes without saying. You know, we understand tonight none of us are perfect, right? And I told myself this week, and I think the Lord kind of pricked my heart a little bit about it this week. You know, that's probably really a statement we shouldn't say that much because it's understood. And sometimes we say that statement and it kind of gives us an excuse. Well, we're not perfect. So, you know, look, we understand tonight that none of us are perfect and we fail as parents sometimes. But we're not here to set anybody up as a perfect parent or our church as having the perfect answer of being parents. But we are saying that God's Word has the answer. And if we'll follow God's Word will help us to train our young men to be biblical knights. It'll help us to train our young ladies to be virtuous women. And so that, we're just trying to be a help. That's all. We're not trying to set our church up as being the paramount of perfection when it comes to that matter. We're just trying to go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says, because the Word of God has the answer. And the Bible says in verse 4, what matters is what God sees and what God thinks. And it says, which is in the sight of God, of great price. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help, and then we'll look at these three characteristics of the spirit of a virtuous woman. Father, we sure do love you tonight. Father, we're grateful to be able to be back. Lord, even in spite of the weather this afternoon, I thank you for allowing it to push on through. I pray that for those that might even still be in the path of some of these storms, Lord, we pray that you'd give protection. And Lord, we just pray that you'd watch over our church family, even some that might still be in that path. Lord, I just pray that you'd watch over them. Lord, we thank you for being able to be here tonight. I pray that you'll just teach us. We thank you for this day. Again, we thank you for Mother's Day and the opportunity to be able to honor our mothers. And we're so thankful for the mothers that we have here at Maranatha Baptist Church. Father, I'm thankful for their heart and their desire to love you and serve you and to strive to raise virtuous women and young men who will meet the enemy at the gates, Lord, as we've seen recently. And so, Father, I'm so thankful for our moms. I'm thankful for our dads. I'm just thankful for our church family. I pray that you'll continue to bless. Teach us tonight, Lord. That's our heart. That's our desire. That's our plea, is that you would teach us from your word and just help us and make us better for being here tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, the spirit of a virtuous woman, a young lady. And we're looking at the word spirit, but we're also looking at the word holy, because that's the word that is paramount in this passage. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "For after this manner, speaking of how the women adorn themselves," in verse 3 and 4, it says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves." How did they adorn themselves? "With a meek and quiet spirit, being in subjection unto their own husbands." So, first of all tonight, as we think about her spirit, I want us to see that a young lady should have a holy adorning. A holy adorning. The Bible says here, we've already seen it in verses 3 through 5, speaking about her adorning. But also, let me go back, and you don't have to go, but let me go back to the book of Esther, just for a couple of verses, if I could, tonight. Esther chapter number 2, in verse number 2. The Bible says, "Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king." In that same chapter, in chapter number 4 and verse number 16, he says, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink." I think, actually, I'm in the wrong verse. I knew I was. It is chapter 2, verse 15. "Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her." Now, they're looking on the outward appearance, but if you'll notice what it says in verse number 2, it says, "Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king." It wasn't as much as what was on the outside. It is what the inside poured out to the outside. And so the first thing that I want us to see tonight is that a young lady should have a holy adorning. Back in 1 Peter chapter number 3, it speaks of her adorning. And by the way, we're not talking about outward physical adorning tonight. We're talking about the adorning of a spirit. It says in verse number 3, it says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward. But let me say this, even though we're not going to speak about it tonight, the inside adorning will affect the outside adorning. It always does, and it should. And he says in verse number 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair. He's saying, look, what's most important, what we should give most of our time to is not the outward adorning, not the plaiting of hair, not the time we spend fixing our hair, not the putting on of gold or the putting on of apparel and spending time and time and time shopping and doing all these different things and worrying most about the outside. He said, what we should worry about, what ladies should worry about, is what's on the inside. And so first of all, as we think about the spirit, a young lady should have a holy adorning. First of all, internal beauty, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the adorning. Internal beauty, we've already mentioned this, is priceless. It's priceless. That's what the Bible tells us in Proverbs 31:10. And notice this again, it is priceless in whose sight? Verse 4, God's sight. He says in verse 4, which is in the sight of God of great price. And so holy adorning, internal beauty is priceless. It's priceless. I've known young men who have married young ladies who are absolutely beautiful on the outside. And a week or two after the wedding ceremony, they realized they married a wildcat on the inside. They realized they married a lady who, she's a fighter. She's a brawler. She's a contentious woman. And see, that's why it's absolutely vital, young men, that you find out what's on the inside. Y'all are quiet. Y'all can talk a little bit tonight. It'll be okay. You'll help this go a lot faster. You better make sure you find out what's on the inside. Because a week, 2 weeks after you're married, it's too late then. You're in it. The Bible says you're in it until death do us part. Now, you may say, well, I can take care of that real quick. Death do us part can be right now. But that's not how that works, is it? No, you're in it till death do us part. That's why internal beauty is priceless. We're not negating the outside. We're not negating young ladies taking care of the outside. That's important too. But internal beauty is priceless. Let me say this. Internal beauty is peaceful, meek, and quiet. A meek and quiet spirit. By the way, hold your place here. Put a piece of paper there or something. And would you go with me to the book of Proverbs? I want to show you a comparison. Proverbs chapter number 7, a meek and quiet spirit. Internal beauty is peaceful. By the way, not only for that young lady, but for all who are who have contact with her. She's peaceful. She brings peace to the home. She brings peace to relationships. She has peace with her girlfriends. She's not full of drama. Meek and quiet spirit. Hey, young men, if you know a young lady and you're interested in a young lady who is constantly fighting with her girlfriends, that ought to send up a red flag. If she's fighting with her girlfriends and if there's constant turmoil and chaos with her relationships, it's not going to be any different with you. Just because you're a guy. No, there's still going to be turmoil. Notice Proverbs chapter number 7. Here's the comparison. You have in 1 Peter 3, you have the meek and quiet spirit, the spirit of a virtuous woman, if you will. And here in Proverbs chapter number 7, we see the opposite. Let's begin in verse 1. The Bible says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Notice this, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And notice verses 10 and 11. This is what I want us to get here. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Notice what she is. Notice who she is. Notice her character in verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Internal beauty, not only is it priceless, but internal beauty, we're talking about the meek and quiet spirit, the internal beauty is peaceful. It's peaceful. It has peace with its relationships. It has peace with its siblings. It has peace with its mom and dad. It has peace with its husband one day. It is peaceful. As compared to the strange woman who is not a virtuous woman, who doesn't have a meek and quiet spirit, just the opposite, the Bible says she is loud and she is stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She is loud, she is disquieted, and she is restless. The spirit of a virtuous woman. A young lady should have a holy, H-O-L-Y, adorning. And that adorning, we're not even talking about the outward tonight. We're talking about that inward adorning. Not the plaiting of hair, not the putting on of gold, not the putting on of apparel. We're talking about the inward man, the Bible says. By the way, the Bible says that which is not corruptible. Gold tarnishes. Clothes get too big or they get too small or the moths get in them. Clothes go out of fashion. They corrupt. But not a meek and quiet spirit. Incorruptible, the Bible says. Internal beauty is priceless. Internal beauty is peaceful. By the way, you don't have to raise, I don't want you to raise your hands tonight by any means because you're going to get in trouble. You would get in trouble if you didn't raise your hand. But how many of you men tonight, in your heart, you would say, I'm so thankful for our peaceful household? How many of you would say that tonight? Don't raise your hands. But just in your heart tonight, you say, I'm just grateful. Our home is full of peace. It's not full of loudness. It's not full of arguing and fighting. It's peaceful. That doesn't mean you don't have some heated discussions sometimes. But it's peaceful. For the vast majority of the time, your home is your sanctuary. It's your safe haven. It's a place of peace. It's because of that meek and quiet spirit. Let me, and I've already mentioned this, internal beauty is priceless. It's peaceful. External beauty is passing. It's corruptible, the Bible says back in 1 Peter chapter number 3. So first of all tonight, as we think of the spirit of a virtuous woman, a young lady should have a holy adorning. And that, look, that's what we ought to teach our young ladies, to have a meek and quiet spirit. By the way, don't misunderstand tonight. We're not saying that we're training our young ladies to be doormats. That's not what we're saying at all tonight. Hey, our young ladies have a mind. Our young ladies have intellect, and one of these days, we want our young ladies to be a tremendous help to their husband, to be able to give advice. Look, I've mentioned this. I've said it many, many times. My wife has kept me many, many times from making bad decisions, because many times men, boy, we're just, hey, let's go do it now. That's a pretty truck. Let's go get it now. I heard a preacher this week, listened to a preacher, and he was talking about blessings, and he was talking about, you know, God blessed you with your new car. It took 18 loans and a trip to Fast Cash and all these different places, but bless God, he gave you a new car. And we laugh at that. But men, we're prone to do that sometimes. It's pretty, it's sparkling, and if I can go get a loan, I'm getting it today. And you've got a wonderful wife over here, or it may be vice versa. Maybe your wife is like that. And maybe you're the one that has to rein her in. But listen, most of the time it's the men and the wives are reining us in. And many, many times my wife, and I'm not in that area, but many times my wife has kept me. Because here's the thing, she has a perspective that I don't have. You know what she says many, many times? She said, "What about this?" I'm like, "Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, you're right, we shouldn't do that." Because she has a different perspective. And by the way, many times it's a perspective I never think of. And if I run headlong into a decision, I'm going to make a bad decision. We are not saying tonight, "Oh, you sweet baby, you better have a meek and quiet spirit and you just better sit down and listen and do everything your husband tells you to do." That's not what we're saying tonight. By the way, I don't think that's what the Bible's saying at all. The Bible is saying that this lady is adorned on the inside. She is internally beautiful because she has a meek and quiet spirit. She's not stubborn. She's not loud. She has intellect. She has opinion. But she does it with a meek and a quiet spirit. By the way, anytime my wife has ever encouraged me with something, she has never come to me and said, "Boy, you're such a dummy. You're such a dummy. How many times do I have to save you from making a bad decision? You're so dumb." She's never done that. She just says, "Sweetie, what about this? Have you thought about this angle?" And most of them, no, I haven't. And she helps. Number one, a young lady should have a holy adorning. Number two, a young lady should have a holy attitude. Again, back to the meek and a quiet spirit. She should have a holy attitude. Stay here in Proverbs 7, if you would. Notice again the attitude in verse number 11. We want our young ladies, those that we're trying to rear to be virtuous women, we want them to have the attitude of a meek and quiet spirit. But notice the attitude in verse number 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's not going to let anybody tell her what to do. She's not even going to let the Word of God tell her what to do. Remember we read last week in chapter number 2. Look at chapter number 2 real quickly. And then we'll come back here to chapter 7. Look at Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 16. The Bible says, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." And notice verse 17. We noticed this last week. We talked about submission, being submitted to her guides. But it says, "Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God." She forsakes that guide, whether it was her mother, whether it was another godly lady. She forsook that guide. And not only did she forsake her guides, she forsook the covenant, the vows that she had made to her God. Probably this young lady at camp, if they had camp back in Bible days, she went to the Bill Rice Ranch and she made a decision. The Bible says she forgot the covenant that she made with God. She forgot the vow. She forgot the commitment that maybe as a young teenager, maybe as a 12-year-old young lady, she had made a commitment to God to stay pure, maybe made a commitment to God to be faithful and committed to Him, to be surrendered to Him with the entirety of her lives and her life. And the Bible says that she forsook, she forgot the covenant that she had made with her God. A young lady should have a holy attitude. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 11 and 12 again. Verse 12 says, "Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner." By the way, this lady in Proverbs 7 has a husband. Bible says, she says, the good man is gone on a journey, on a trip. Titus chapter 2 says that the aged women teach the younger women to be keepers at home. And the Bible says that this lady hates being at home. She won't keep her feet in the house. She's on every corner looking for what kind of trouble she can get in. Why? Because of her attitude, it's not holy. Because of her adorning, it's not holy. There's not that meek and quiet spirit. That goes back to what we looked at last week that says, you know what? I'm going to surrender and submit myself under the authority of the Word of God. And what the Word of what my guides have taught me as a young lady, what my God has taught me from His Word as a young lady, I'm going to submit myself under that. This lady in Proverbs 7, the strange woman, she said, I'm not going to submit to anybody. I'm not going to listen to anybody. I'm going to be loud. I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to be out of my house. I'm going to be on every corner looking for any type of trouble I can get into. Go a little bit further, if you would. Proverbs chapter 21. Would you go there real quickly? Proverbs 21. A young lady should have a holy adorning. A young lady should have a holy attitude. Proverbs chapter number 21, verse number 9. We mentioned this just a moment ago. Proverbs 21, verse number 9, the Bible says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop, you know this verse, than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Verse number 19, that same chapter, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. So, I'm going to the woods and going hunting for a week. I'll see you. The guy would rather live in his deer stand than live in his house because of an angry and contentious woman. Now, ladies, if your husband does that for a week, I'm not saying you're an angry and contentious woman. He's just crazy for wanting to spend a week in the deer stand, isn't he? A holy attitude. She's angry. She's contentious. And by the way, it all goes back to her submission to the Word of God. It all goes back to that. It all goes back to the meek and quiet spirit. It all goes back to what is most important. What adorning is most important? Is it the outward? Is it the inward? What submission? Who should I be submitted to? She should be submitted to the Word of God first and foremost. And the Bible says, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop. Hey, ladies, tonight, we're trying to raise young ladies who their husbands, the best place in the world that they want to be is at home with her. His most favorite place to be is at home with her. Doesn't mean he doesn't have other hobbies. Doesn't mean he doesn't like to go other places. Doesn't mean he doesn't like to go fishing or hunting or whatever the case may be. But when all is said and done, his favorite place is to be home with her. And if we raise young ladies to be brawlers and to be contentious and to say, you know what, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do, even God. And if that's how we raise them, then they're going to get married one day and they're going to have a husband who maybe a month or two or a few months after the marriage, the last place he wants to be is at home. The Bible says it. If a man gets to the point he'd rather be in the wilderness, by the way, it says dwell in the wilderness. Not just go out to hunt for a day. Bible says dwell in the wilderness than, where am I at, verse 19, than with a contentious and an angry woman. Verse number 9, it's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. You've got a huge house. Three-story house, 50 rooms in that house. And the Bible says if you live with a contentious woman, you just want to get in a corner somewhere. You don't care about the rest of the house. Give me a little bitty corner away from her. That's verse number 9 is the type of woman that we are not trying to train. The exact opposite. So first of all, a young lady should have a holy adorning. She should have a holy attitude. One more verse real quickly, and then we'll move on to our last thought tonight. Would you look at chapter 27, Proverbs chapter number 27? The key is meek and quiet spirit. By the way, does meekness equal weakness? We've said this many, many times. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ was meek. Was Jesus Christ weak? No, my friend. No, meekness And others may have a different definition, but this is my definition of meekness. Meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. Meekness is a young lady who says, you know what? I'm probably smarter than my husband, but the Bible says I'm to submit myself underneath him. That's exactly what I'm going to do. That's a meek spirit. Not weak. It is strength under control. It is strength submitted to God's holy word. Chapter number 27, notice verse number 15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day, just like today, and a contentious woman are alike. Men, you ever laid in bed at night, and I say this because probably most of you have, you ever laid in bed at night and you've heard the tub in your bathroom leaking or just dripping? Man, I need some new washers. I got to fix that. Have you done that? Drip, 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 drip. That's what the Bible says a contentious woman is like. Continual dropping and a contentious woman are alike. Let me ask you, men, do you enjoy sitting in bed and hearing drip, 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 drip? No, you don't. And ladies, they don't enjoy listening to that. A couple Saturday nights ago, we had gotten in bed early. We just had a busy day. We got in bed early because we wanted to be refreshed and ready for Sunday morning. And we went to bed about probably 9:30. And about 11 o'clock, a truck with it pulling a trailer went right here and it stopped at the stop sign. And when it stopped, that trailer, you ever heard a trailer? It made a sound, and I immediately jumped out of bed and I said, "Baby," I said, "somebody's in the ditch." Because I know that sound. When somebody goes in the ditch and they hit those rocks in the ditch, I know that sound. And that's exactly what it sounded like. And so at 11 o'clock, I jump up and I say, "Baby, somebody's in the ditch." And I look out the window. I don't see anything. I go in the living room and look out the window because I can get a better view. Didn't see anything. And I was like, "No, just a truck and a trailer." I saw the truck go down, pulling the trailer. I said, "It was just a trailer." Get back in bed. About 10 minutes later. Chirp. 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 It was our carbon monoxide detector. The battery was dead. Chirp. You ever had a smoke detector do that in the middle of the night? And so I'm standing in the hallway trying to figure out, okay, is it in Jonathan's room or Josh's room? And it turned out it was on the kitchen table because I had taken it out of the outlet the day before. A continual dropping. I went back to bed and said, "Baby, I'm awake. Might as well just get up now." Continual dropping. A virtuous woman that has the right spirit has a holy adorning. She has a holy attitude. By the way, it all goes back to the submission. And then thirdly tonight, not only should a young lady have a holy adorning and a holy attitude, but thirdly, she should have holy actions. Holy actions. Let me give you these three, and we'll be done tonight. She ought to be pure. Esther chapter 2, verse 2. If you're taking notes, write that down. We read it just a moment ago. What did the Bible say about Esther? The Bible says she was a fair virgin. That's what the Bible says. Holy actions. The Bible says, "Who knows if you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Our young ladies are here at this moment in history for such a time as this. For whatever purpose God has for them, for whatever young man God has for them, for whatever family God's going to bless them with, whatever church they're going to be a part of, whatever ministry they're going to be a part of one day, they are here for such a time as this. Okay, if they're going to fulfill what God desires for them, that young lady needs to be taught to have the spirit of a virtuous woman. And part of that is being taught to be wholly adorned, having that meek and quiet spirit on the inside, to have the holy attitude, but then also to have holy actions, pure. Who did they bring to the palace in the book of Esther, to Shushan, the palace? Who did they bring? They brought fair virgins. They were pure. In Proverbs chapter 7, we read about the strange woman in verse number 13. It says, "So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him," she said, "I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." We could go on. We're not going to do that tonight. But the lady in Proverbs 7 is not pure. She's a strange woman. A young lady should have holy actions. She ought to be pure. Secondly, she ought to pray. She ought to pray. We read this last week in Esther chapter number 4, verse number 16. What did Esther tell Mordecai to do? She said, get everybody together and do what? Fast. Fast and pray. In Esther chapter 4, verse number 16, she said, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." She ought to be pure. Secondly, she ought to pray. Then thirdly, she ought to praise. She ought to be a young lady who is pure. She ought to be a young lady who prays. We're talking about her actions. And she ought to be a young lady who praises her God. Esther chapter 9. Would you turn there? Esther chapter number 9. We're done right here tonight. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a passage. We read this when we were talking about the young men. But in Psalm 148, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights." And then verses 12 and 13, it says, "Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." Just as we mentioned with our young men, we ought to teach our young ladies that it's a good thing to praise God on a frequent basis. Whether it's in their hearts, whether it's out loud. It ought to be out loud every now and then. Well, praise the Lord. Look what God did for me today. You say, "Pastor, maybe even at school, our daughters ought to be praising the Lord." Absolutely. So they can be a testimony to those schoolmates. Esther chapter number 9, verse number 29. "Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew," notice this, "wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim." Let me ask you tonight, we've studied this before, but what was Purim? Purim was the feast of praise, of gratefulness, of thankfulness. It was a feast of thankfulness that the Jews had and held after God delivered them from the king's decree. The king, through the advisement of Haman, had made a decree that the Jews could be killed. And of course, this is why Esther is fasting in Esther chapter number 4. This is why Mordecai is trying to encourage her to go to stand before the king, even though she might perish because of that. But when all is said and done, the tables were turned against the people in the land. The Jews turned the tables on them, and the king allowed it because of Esther. And because of that, they had a feast. Look back at verse number 20 of chapter 9. "And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained, and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing, and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered, and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. And then we read verse number 29. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim, to keep the feast of thanksgiving, of gratefulness, of thankfulness for what God had wrought on their behalf. Our young ladies need to be holy and need to be taught to be holy, separated in their actions. They should be pure. That's important, friends. She should be pure. She should not be like the strange woman that's mentioned in the book of Proverbs. She should be a young lady who prays. And she should be a young lady who praises, who looks to God, who gives, just like the young girls saying, to trust God. That's what we're teaching them, right? To trust God. That's what we're teaching them. When you have a problem, who do you go to? Who did Esther go to? She went to God. What did she do? They fasted. Who do our kids go to when they have a problem? Well, they come to us, but they also ought to be taught that they go to their God. The submission of a virtuous woman, the spirit of a virtuous woman. A young lady should have a holy adorning, internal beauty. A young lady should have a holy attitude, meek and quiet spirit. A young lady should have holy actions. And we should be training. We should be building, as we talked about this morning. We should be building young ladies for the glory of Almighty God. A lot of other things happen on a daily basis, don't they? Hot water heater goes out. Yeah. A lot of things happen in a day that we weren't expecting. But when those things happen, you know what? We can't allow those to detour us from the goal or the main aim that God has given us. And what is that? To rear, to build, to train young men and young women for His glory. That's what He's given us to do. And God help us. God give us the courage in the year 2021 to stay at it and to keep doing it. Hey, listen, the world's going to make you tired. The world's going to try to beat you down when you try to do that. The world's going to try to tell you you're just wasting your time. The world's going to try to tell you, look, why don't you let your kids be like everybody else? Your kids are weird. The world's going to try to make you tired. And they're going to try to make you give in. And just stay at it. Just keep at it. Just understand we're training and we're rearing that which is priceless. Hey, the world can have who they are because there's plenty of it. There's a lot of that supply. We're training something different. We're training something that is priceless. Amen. Father, thank You for the time You've given us tonight. Lord, help us. Give us the courage and the strength. Father, I know it gets tiring sometimes when you just try to keep staying at it. You just try to keep doing what the Word says. And boy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're going the opposite direction. And boy, you're feels like we're going upstream, and we are many times. We're walking the narrow path against the wide path, against the broad way. And Father, sometimes it gets tiring. And Father, I pray that you would help our moms tonight. I pray that you'd help those that are trying to rear virtuous women in a treacherous world. I pray that you'll help our dads tonight. Or our young ladies need daddies who love them and who'll put their arms around them and hug them and show them how priceless they really are. And so I pray that you'd help every single one of us, men and women, moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, Father, that we'd be busy about training biblical knights and about rearing virtuous women in a treacherous world. Give us the courage, give us the strength, give us your grace and mercy. We need it just to keep at it, just to keep staying at it. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. And Lord, we just pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know if you have any needs tonight. I don't know if the Lord worked in your heart. But there might be a mom, there might be a dad. Might be a dad that would say, you know, I need to give more time to my daughter. I need to spend more time with her. Because if I don't, some knucklehead guy is going to do it. I don't want that to happen. And maybe I need to spend more time with her. Show her how valuable and priceless she really is. Maybe a mom. Maybe you let all those little secondary things during the day detour you from the main task. And that's to build children for the glory of God. And maybe tonight you just ask the Lord, just help me. Help me. Help me to keep my eyes fixed on the main thing. So I don't know your needs. Paige is going to play. If you need to come, if you need to kneel right where you're at. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ. Maybe you need to come. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved or not. If death were to take me tonight, I'm not sure if heaven would be my home. I'm not sure if my eternal destination would be hell. I'm just not sure. If that's you, would you come tonight? Let us take the Word of God and show you what the Bible says about everlasting life. Hey, young ladies, there might be some young ladies tonight that would just bend the knee and would just say, Lord, I want to be that virtuous lady. I want to have a price that's far above rubies. Lord, help me to be submitted. Help me to be submitted to you as my God. Help me to be submitted to my guides. Help me to be submitted to my mom and dad and your word. Help me to be submitted to my gender. Help me to embrace the role that you've given me. Might be a young lady tonight, say, Lord, help my spirit. Lord, many times I can be loud and stubborn, and Lord, I want to have a meek and quiet spirit. I want my strength to be under control. God, I want my strength to be under your control and under the control of your word. Paige is going to play one more verse. If you need to come, if you need to kneel right where you're at, if the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart tonight, let's do business with the Lord. Which is in the sight of God of great price. And that's all that matters. What he thinks, his sight, not man's, which is in the sight of God of great price. Amen. Let's pray and be dismissed tonight. It's been good to be in God's house. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have as well. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your attention today. Let's pray and be dismissed. Moms, if you weren't able to be here this morning or maybe just weren't able to get a gift, please do get one on the table out here. If you want to take one off the display, that's fine too, because some of them we ran out of and they're on the display. So take one, please. And we'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30. Looking forward to a good last night of Master Club. Brother Billy Meyer, would you dismiss us, please?